Hey, Undisputed listeners, before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com now. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Patriots will be without two big names on the defensive side of the ball this season. Two-time Pro Bowl linebacker Dont'a Hightower and starting defensive back Patrick Chung have both decided to opt out of the 2020 season. There are now six Patriot players who are opting out this season. So, Shannon, I start with you. How do you explain this?
Well, I think the thing is, Skip, is that when you look at it, you have to look at it. There's still a lot of unknowns with this virus, Skip. We know what it does to the elderly. We know that there are people that as young as, I think there was a 9-year-old, if I'm not mistaken, Skip, that passed yesterday in Florida, died from this virus. We don't know. We do know that it has some long-term effects on the internal organs, kidneys, hearts, lungs, and things of that nature. But what we don't know is the effect that it have on infants. And it seems to me that, and I, like I said, I don't know these situations, but I do know Dont'a Hightower. He said he just had a small child. Dont'a Hightower says, my infant is not going to be the case study. I cannot run the risk of getting this virus and coming home with and having an infant child in the home and possibly passing it along. I don't know Patrick Chung's. I don't know the other guy's situation. But it seems to me that guys are saying, you know what? There are certain things to me. I'm doing this for my family. Well, if I'm potentially putting my family in harm's way, Skip, what service am I providing them? And so, guys, Dont'a Hightower stands to make $8 million. A guy says, you know what? My family is more important to me than $8 million. All Dont'a Hightower's life, he's tried to do, he, you know, went to the University of Alabama, first-round draft pick, Skip. I want to make a better situation for my family. And he says, you know what? Playing football might not be the best thing that I can do for my family currently. There's still a lot that I don't know and they don't know about this virus. And I'm not willing to put my family in harm's way. Now, I don't believe, Skip, that you're going to see wholesale more. I mean, they have six guys that opted out. No other team has more than two. Now, we know if you have a morbidity rate, Skip, you have hypertension, you have kidney ailment, you have you're asthmatic, you have certain conditions, you're predisposed. You're at a higher risk of getting this and it having an adverse effect on your life. Okay, Skip, you look at James Conner. James Conner had leukemia in college. He says, I'm playing. He's in a high risk factor, but he says, I'm willing to forego that in order to play. So, Skip, you got to look at this as a case by case basis. Mm-hmm. I don't believe guys are getting up on the phone. Man, I'm opting out. Yeah, me too. Guys are looking at their situation saying, I don't know, Skip, they might have someone in the home. They might have a mom, a dad. They might have a child that has special needs or something like that. And they're not willing to run the risk. So I'm not here to cast no judgment on them, and I'm not saying this is going to doom the NFL season because I don't believe it will. I believe they're going to have football, and they're going to try to have it as safe as they possibly can. Mm-hmm. But I, like I said, like Dana White got Fight Island. Skip, I don't believe you can do NFL Island. I just don't believe you can do that unless you're just going to pack up everybody, go to New Zealand. You got an entire island, a whole – you need a state. You need something like Rhode Island or Maine. Mm-hmm. And – but I don't see that happening, Skip. So I think that's where you have to look at it. Guys are saying that my family right now is more important to me than football. I don't know all I need to know about this virus, and I'm not willing to run the risk.
Mm. All very good points, very valid points. Now, my big picture step back perspective on this. There were random opt-outs across the league yesterday.
Yes.
but no team had as many opt-outs, boom, 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 as the New England Patriots. So we had four veterans and two backups, and I'm going to just focus on the four veterans who have just now opted out. I hear what you just said, but I believe there are six issues operating here that contributed to these decisions for these four veterans. Obviously, number one, legit COVID fears for themselves and their families.
Right.
Got that. I'm with you on all that you just said. But number two, each of these guys, three of them have three rings already, and Brandon Bolden has two rings. Mm-hmm. So you got Hightower Chung and Marcus Cannon with three Super Bowl rings. Shannon Sharp has three rings. It's pretty great. It helped you get in the Hall of Fame, but it helped make your sort of post-career life. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal to have three Super Bowl rings. So once you've got those in your sort of back pocket, it's easier to make a decision like this because now I get to number three. Each of these guys have played at least 9 years, some up to 10, and Patrick Chung was about to go into his 12th year.
Right.
So these are really veteran players, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now we get to number four. I'm assuming that all four have made a good deal of money, and I'm going to guess they've been able to bank a good deal of money, right, over those 9, 10, 11, 12 years,
right?
So to your point, you said, man, $8 million, leave it on the table. Well, if you don't have any money in the bank, it would be hard, even for your family's sake, do I want to take the risk? Well, you might be much more likely to take the plunge on this if you don't have any money.
Right.
And you say, you're going to pay me $8 million to take the plunge?
Right.
I'll take the risk. Which brings me to number five. All of these players, every year they've played, except Patrick Chung did go for a year to Philadelphia. But the point is, for the most part, all four of these guys, every August when they've stepped on the practice field and training camp, they have thought every time they had a legitimate shot at winning a Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was mostly because they had that quarterback. Mm-hmm. They had the GOAT, Tom Brady. Well, now they all know the GOAT is now in Tampa. So to me, they're all stepping back and saying, well, gee, do we have a legitimate Super Bowl shot? Well, I think even you would say, no, you don't have a legitimate Super Bowl shot. So it's not like, gee, we're going to leave a fourth ring on the table, or in Bolden's case, a third ring. No, they're not thinking about that because it's unrealistic that they're going to go win a ring, even though Cam could, I don't know, he could be the comeback player of the year.
Right.
But they're still not thinking of the continuity of having Brady back for a 21st year would have brought at least the hope, we can compete for a Super Bowl. And that brings me to issue number six. And this one, I believe, I could be wrong about this, but I'm going to sell this one pretty hard. I believe that all four of those guys said, gee, given all the other issues, especially the COVID issue, do we really want to have to put up with Bill Belichick without Tom Brady? No, seriously, because he's difficult to play for.
Yes.
Even you would agree.
Oh, yeah, there's no question, yeah.
Okay, and they had the ultimate buffer in the locker room. They had a Tom Brady who knew how to sort of deal with Bill Belichick.
Right.
No coach can inflict more verbal abuse than Bill Belichick will.
Yeah.
Greg Popovich, obviously, in the NBA, is in that ballpark. But nobody is like Belichick, who is even verbally abusive of Tom Brady.
And they study each other. The Patriots study the Spurs.
Yeah, they do. No, there you go.
Nick Saban, Coach Saban in Alabama.
Okay. So you have to put up. I believe that Shannon Sharp, if he had played with Brady for the Patriots, you would have had to bite your tongue a number of times.
Yes.
Well, you'd be saying, and again, if he shamed you as a man, if he used abusive language, which he, I think he is prone to use occasionally, I think you'd have to bite through your tongue to spit back at him. Mm-hmm. And maybe you would have spat back at him, and maybe Tom would have intervened and said, Shay, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's just the way the guy is.
Skip, let's take what we know about this disease. There is no denying that the African-American community and the Hispanic community are at a high risk. If you talk about the guys that opted out, they're African-Americans. And so they're saying this disease disproportionately, for whatever reason the case may be, and we know what it is because there are a lot of predisposed people in the communities. So they run the higher risk of hypertension, high blood pressure, kidney ailment.
More pre-existing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they have. So they're predisposed.
Pre-existing conditions,
So if they get this, they're more likely to have adverse effects than they say our Caucasian counterpart.
Okay.
And if you look at a lot of the people that's opting out, Skip, that's what's happening. You look at Marquise Goodwin. Marquise Goodwin says, traded from the 49ers to the Eagles, says, I can't do heartbreak anymore right now. His wife had 3 miscarriages. They were able to have a child recently. He says, I can't do it right now.
Legit.
So, Skip, for me, I don't believe there's any other reasons other than guys are really looking down at themselves, sitting down and having very tough conversation with their significant other and their family and says, is this worth it?
Okay, I got it. I'm with you on all the above. But they're all sitting back, these veterans, saying, wait a second, we lost Kyle Van Noy, and we lost Jamie Collins. And then, wait a second, we lost to Landon Roberts and Danny Shelton. And we didn't really replace any of them with any legit proven star power, right? So they're looking at their chances next year, even on the defensive side, as not great.
Skip, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't believe that even entered Dante Hightower or Patrick Chung, Marcus Cannon.
But I'm saying that closes the deal in your head of, gee, do I want to go out there and fight for what? Are we even going to be able to make the playoffs?
Marcus Cannon is in the highest risk.
Okay, I got it.
So for him, it was a no-brainer.
Okay, but I'm looking at when they look at the final factor, I got to go take Belichick's guff, the tyrant coach, and I have to try to play with a defense that can't be nearly as good as it was last year. I can't see it unless Belichick does have some mastermind plan in place. And on the offense, it was the worst supporting cast Brady has ever had. Cam is now going to inherit it, although it looks like Belichick may want to go with the guy he calls Stid. Right. It might be Jared Stidham, who's never started an NFL game in place of the GOAT. On an offense, did they add anybody on offense that raised your eyebrows?
No.
Did they reload on offense?
No,
they didn't. So I'm looking at I know Fox Bet still has New England barely favored to win the division. I can't see it.
Right.
I don't know how they're going to be better than Buffalo.
Yeah.
Buffalo wasn't a fluke last year.
Skip, all those things, they're very compelling points, but I don't really want to look any further than a guy's individual situation says, okay, what is in the best interest? Because at the end of the day, Skip, everybody says they do this for the family. Tom says, I'm doing this for my family, you know, my mom, my dad. And so the thing is that you have an infant child or you have someone that's at a risk level in your home. Okay. You have to really, really make a tough decision.
Well, let's look at Cam Newton. He's got, I'm not sure how many, does he have 2 kids, I think?
Cam is father 7.
What's that?
7.
Is it up to 7?
Yeah.
I thought he had 2 recently.
Yeah, no, he got like 4. He got, young kids.
Okay, so is his family going to be at risk because he's going to plunge into this full speed ahead?
Well, I don't want to divulge Cam's situation, but, you know, Cam is going to have to make a decision that's in the best interest of Cam Newton. Because there are other guys, you know, Cousins have kids. There are a lot of quarterbacks. There are a lot of, you know, linemen that have, and you have to, what is the best situation? Like I said, I can't lay it out any clearer. You look at the running back from Pittsburgh, Skip Connor, he had leukemia. He's in a very high-risk group. He says, I'm playing. There are other guys that have infant kids. They're playing. And you look at Dante Hightower and some of these other guys says, no, I'm not willing to accept that risk. I'm not willing for you to use my kid as a test kit to see how this COVID affects infants.
But my point to you is, at some point, a Cam Newton is saying, I have an opportunity here to show people how wrong they were about me. So I'm going to guess from a distance that Cam is willing to take the risk.
Yeah, he is. But for me, Skip, if knowing what I know about the virus now, and if I had kids that could possibly be at a risk, I don't give a damn what y'all think about me. I ain't playing.
All right. Well, it's definitely an individual's decision.
Yes.
Right.
And Chung actually spoke this morning a little bit more about the decision. He said he has a baby girl on the way. His son suffers from a bit of asthma. His father is 75 years old. And he said, look, this is about my family. It's about their health and safety. And it's not over. It's just postponed for now. That was what he discussed this morning. So as we continue to see how all players are adapting to this, and tough decisions have to be made. No mercy. Yesterday, Rob Gronkowski tweeted this picture of himself simply with the caption, it's go time, followed by a pirate emoji. Tom Brady took notice and replied with 4 words. Indeed it is, Robert. Indeed it is.
Love it.
I love it, Shannon.
Love it.
I know you love it.
Love it.
What do you read into this?
Should I throw up now or later? So now we call everybody by their government name. Huh? Oh, Robert. Oh, Thomas. Scared this is over. Why you get a kick out of this? I think you get such a kick out of it because you know it annoys me. This is so ridiculous.
Every time I see one of these, I think of you first. I think, I wonder what this is doing to him.
Man, I saw this yesterday come up on my feed. I'm like, really, y'all? Y'all really? Skip, look, I get it. Camp is here now.
Yep.
And, you know, Tom feels like he has something to prove. So does Gronk. Because Gronk was away. And it's going to be interesting to see, Skip, what Gronk is. Because Gronk, if we last remember, Skip, he had his lowest numbers in a full season since his rookie season.
Yep.
47 catches, only 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And what we had started to see is that he could dominate a series, but we didn't see the games where Gronk would just take the game over. We saw him have spells against Kansas City the last time we saw it.
I'd say.
We saw the series against the Rams in the Super Bowl.
Those work.
Yeah. But what we normally see, Gronk would dominate games. Gronk would just, like, take the game over. And Tom would just not even look for anybody else but Gronk, because he was so imposing. So it's going to be interesting to see what he is coming back to that after missing an entire season, taking time off. It was a sabbatical, a self-imposed sabbatical. I guess he didn't want to go through the rigors of being in New England anymore, and he came out of retirement. So, Skip, that's all this is. This is two guys that says, look, we both feel like we have something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
We're both anxious to get back at it. But, okay, can we leave the Robert? Can we leave the Thomases? Can we leave that out of there? Really? Because it's, like, really annoying. And I'm, like, so tired of it, Jenny. Jennifer, or should I call you Jennifer?
That means I'm in trouble. Please don't.
What's the government form of Shannon? I don't know what it is.
The government form is Shannon.
Yeah.
That's what most people call me, Shay.
Okay. So, the reason I love this is because I think there is a little method to the madness. You cannot tell me the timing of this post from Gronk and that response from Tom Brady was coincidental to what was happening up in Foxborough at that moment. Mm-hmm. I believe that they wanted to send a message up to Foxborough that while you guys are opting out, they had four veterans opt out, we are all in way down here in little old Tampa Bay, right?
Yep.
And it was the equivalent of the shot from the pirate ship, as they have down there in their stadium, over the bow of Belichick's yacht he may have been on over the last month.
Right? Yeah, he had a tuck.
What's he call it? 6 rings or something?
Yeah,
I don't know what he calls it, right?
Looking for 7.
Well, he's not going to ever get a 7, so he doesn't have to worry about changing the 6 on his yacht. But it was just a shot to say, we are all in down here while you guys, it looks like our old dynasty is starting to come apart.
Right.
It looks like there's some split up there, that you guys aren't all in on trying to go win another ring like we are.
Right.
And again, all the things you just talked about, all the COVID fears and concerns are very valid and legitimate. But these two guys, especially that quarterback, who calls him Robert. Indeed, it is Robert. And it drove you crazy, but you can't say it any more succinctly that, yeah, it's go time, and it has been go time for both of them.
Right.
And Arians spoke yesterday, Bruce Arians, the coach.
Yeah.
And he made it clear that sort of against the rules, all of his receivers, including Gronk, have been catching passes from Tom Brady in various high school stadiums or parks or wherever they've been going. And I believe that even though Arians said, oh, Tom and I have not talked that much, we're just now having an opportunity because it's now legal for us to talk. You don't think they've spent hours on the phone talking about various plays? And come on, stop it.
Skip, he tried to go over to what you call him, Brian left with House March.
Yeah.
So to say I hadn't had any communication with the head coach, and here we are about to be August.
He was carrying a bag of footballs, right?
It's factually, instead of saying someone is lying, I think the term they use now is factually incorrect. Instead of saying a nice way of saying, you lied.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Tom Brady, and this, I told you I admired this about LeBron. LeBron went to the bubble all in.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm going to max this thing out. I'm going to leave some of my staff behind because I want my fellow players to know I'm just one of the fellows in this, because it's about sacrifice.
Right.
It's about team unity. Mm-hmm. It's about almost college rah-rah. Mm-hmm. And I do sense that the Lakers are much closer than, let's say, the Clippers are right now. They embrace this opportunity. They embrace the sacrifice, except for, obviously, Avery Bradley, the only one. But those who went, they went like this.
Right.
They are all together, and I feel a closeness when I watch them play. They're all up cheering for each other.
Right.
And I believe that LeBron provided not good, but great leadership in the bubble to say, we have to seize the opportunity to go win a championship out of sacrifice that others probably won't be able to make for 3 months in the bubble,
right? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I believe that Brady and LeBron, I'm going to get put LeBron in the same conversation, even though in some ways he doesn't deserve to be, but you're seeing the same leadership from Tom Brady.
Right.
He's busting rules right and left. He's busting pandemic rules, going to parks that are closed, because he's saying, I'm about to, on August 3rd, he turns 43 years of age. He wants to play for three more years. But you better believe he is hell-bent right now to show Belichick how wrong Belichick was. He wants to take what he thinks is his best supporting cast and a defense that I think is being underrated. And one point that Arians made yesterday was that the only drawback to this has been Tom hasn't been able to practice against our defense, which can throw a whole lot of new looks at him,
right?
So that's going to set him back, even though Arians said he's ahead of the curve. I think it's because they've had lots of conversation on the telephone, right? But the point is that Tom Brady has been all in. It's been go time for him and Gronk for months.
And I think that's the thing that you have to have, Skip, is that, look, this is going to be a very unique circumstance, you know, situation for everybody. LeBron brought in early and said, basically, guys, we got to be all in.
Yeah.
We can't, look, if we go down here, we're going down here for one purpose. We can't say, you know, yeah, I get it. The food is not what you're customary. But once you buy in, you buy in. And Tom is basically saying, look, guys, yeah, for the next 6 months, this is going to be, it's going to be, everybody's going through the same thing. Yeah. It's not like it's just like this for Tampa, but it's not like this for the New Orleans and Atlanta or the Broncos or this team. Everybody's going to be under the same kind of situation, Skip. Everybody got to buy in.
But obviously, Tom's been 20 years in New England, and this is the first year with those players.
Right.
I'll bet you he has a pretty good feel for every one of his receivers to this point.
Right.
Again, as you would tell me, you can't actually play football without playing football.
You got to.
Right?
Right.
You can catch all the no pads.
Right. So what Tom is going to, and like that's what Bruce said. He's like, I need Tom's going to have to go against the defense, Skip, because now you're going to get a sense of how the defense is playing, where the defender is lining up. Is he inside? Is he outside? Is he on top? Is he behind? And so Tom needs to see all that. And then once he gets a feel of that, he's like, okay, I can put the ball here. This is perfect. This is where Mike Evans liked the ball. This is where Chris Godwin. This is where O.J. Howe. He knows Gronk. Played with Gronk for 8-9 years. So he knows Gronk. It's the other guys that he has to get a feel with on the field.
Okay. So back to all of your concerns that you say those players had about COVID possibilities.
Yes.
Well, you don't think Brady has? He's got kids. He's got a wife. Right?
Bad hit, okay. Brady.
You don't think he's worried at all? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think he's impervious to this. I don't think he's bulletproof.
But I think there are certain people that feel a certain way that think a little less of this disease than other people. Let's just like that.
Okay. Well, I don't think it plays any favors.
No, it does not. No? Oh, it does not.
No mercy.
A panel of experts on ESPN made their NBA playoff predictions for who would win each conference. Only 7 of the 16 panelists picked the Lakers to win the West, while the other 9 went to the Clippers. And out of the Lakers 7, only 3 of those also picked them to win the finals. So, Shannon, tell us how wrong this is.
Well, I guess the last couple of months, the Lakers haven't been playing, and no one has been playing, so I guess they've cooled off on the Lakers and think the Clippers have somehow heated up. I get it. You know, look, Avery Bradley, one of our best defenders, a guy that can knock down 3-point shots, he's opted out. But the Clippers have issues of their own also. They're going to have to deal with Trez and Trez not being in the bubble. Mm-hmm. Now, we know he's not playing tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Neither is Lou Will.
Yep.
But if and when he comes back. So I get it. The Clippers are the deepest team, I believe, in all of basketball. There's no question about that. Because they have a Lou Williams. When you get 40 points between two guys coming off the bench, and the third guy is really the guy that you really want the ball in his hands late in the ball game, that lets you know just how deep a ball club they are. But I just trust the fact that I believe our starting five is better. And I believe we'll get timely shots. We'll get great production from our bench. I'm not saying that our bench is going to outscore the Clippers when we meet, I believe, because I believe that's going to be the Western Conference matchup in the finals. I'm not saying our bench can outscore theirs, but they just need to be able to hold their own. They're getting 50 points a night on a nightly, 50, 60 points a night on a nightly basis from their bench. The Lakers just have to keep it close. They can't give up so much ground when LeBron or when AD goes to the bench. But I'm not overly concerned. Clippers are a great team, coached by Doc Rivers, who's a great coach. Kawhi, we know what he can do. Well, Paul George is a superstar. But I like the Lakers. I ain't worried about this here.
I'm shocked that you
all them going to be. Now, I want that energy. Now, I want them ones. Now, the seven that picked them and the three that said they. I want those guys that when the Lakers win the title, I want you to put your name to this.
Okay.
I want you to put your name to this.
So, I cannot tell you how shocked I was when I read the results of these predictions.
Right.
These were all the ESPN analysts/experts. Mm-hmm. And I would have bet a lot of money that a majority would have picked Lakers over Clippers because it seems like it's been heading in that direction all year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that these predictions were taken by the editors, that they were made in the last 48 hours.
Correct.
So they have been watching. Maybe many of these experts are actually moving into the bubble, you know, reporting from the bubble.
Right.
So they have been closely watching what's going on with the Clippers, which is near mutiny to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, as you well know, I picked the Clippers over the Lakers to start the season.
Right.
And I've tried to hang in there with that all season long because I believe they have the better coach and the deeper and better basketball team. Mm-hmm. But in the end, my final takeaway has been it just doesn't feel meant to be. I hope all the experts or a majority are right. And by the way, they didn't just pick Clippers over Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. A majority picked the Clippers to win the championship over most of them over Milwaukee. And then there were a couple of Torontos in there. And anyway, but the point is, the Clippers, as I keep pointing out, only had their full roster together 12 times in what used to be the regular season.
Right.
12 times. Mm-hmm. They went 11-1 in those games. So you say, well, you see the potential, but only 12 games together. And meanwhile, AD and LeBron got to play together 53 games. Kawhi and Paul George played together 32 games, 53-32. Mm-hmm. So then LeBron got, to me, the greatest break of his career. And I'm not exaggerating this because LeBron needed rest. The Clippers needed reps, R-E-P-S, not R-E-S-T. They needed reps. All of a sudden, kaboom, the pandemic hits, the season is shut down, and LeBron, after making an MVP push, nearing the end of his 17th season at age 35, having played the third most minutes in NBA history, he got the ultimate all-time break of a rest. He got 5 months off to get healed up, to get freshened up. Now he's ramping back up in Orlando. Way to go. And we just talked about he's the leader of that sort of LAU team. Mm-hmm. It feels like a college team to me. And the Clippers were forced to just dead stop. So they needed to be playing basketball, and they couldn't play. You can argue it helped Kawhi's arthritic knees. I'll give you that. It helped Paul George's surgically repaired shoulder. I'll give you that. They just needed to play basketball together.
So in other words, you're saying that the Clippers in the regular season, they've just been plodding around, just buying their time, just waiting to get to the playoffs, and now they're going to flip the switch.
No, I'm not saying you can't do that. I'm now leaning Lakers.
Well, that's what the experts seem to think.
You're right. The experts are saying they're just going to flip a switch. Yeah. Well, have they been watching that Montrez, he came to the bubble for a little while before the scrimmage game started, and then he went MIA, and he's still MIA.
Right.
What does that mean? I don't know what's going on. Personal family reasons. I have no idea what's going on. So a number of players, well, obviously Lou Will went Magic Kingdom to Magic City, and all of a sudden, the guy who used to rescue them.
He went to an African-American Performance Arts Center.
Oh.
That's where it's called. That's what it's called.
Is that what they're saying on Twitter now?
Yeah, that's what Bakari Sella said. It was an African-American Performance Arts Center.
But he said there were no entertainers on hand when he was there.
Well, he went to the center. They were not performing at the time.
Oh, wow. So to me, the guy, the reigning sixth man of the year who used to rescue this team, set what's left of the season on fire by stopping for some hot wings.
Lemon pepper.
I'm sure they're really good, and he has a dish named after him. Way to go. But even you said, no, I'm sorry, you can't do that. That's just wrong.
Yeah.
And it was a blow to the psyche of this team. And meanwhile, Pat Bev left for a while, and I'm not sure he's going to be available because he didn't play in any of the scrimmage games. And Landry Shamet didn't play in any of the scrimmage games. And Big Zoo finally came back and played in one scrimmage game. Well, I don't know. They're a deep team.
And the thing is, Skip, with what you worry about with a guy like Pat Bev is a guy that he's tenacious. And so you worry about soft tissue injuries because he hasn't been there. So you worry about a sudden move here or there. You talk about a groin, you talk about a hamstring, a calf, a quad.
By the way, I think all the teams in the bubble through the first three scrimmages have been blessed.
Yes.
I haven't seen, like,
Eric Gordon went down.
He fell, turned his ankle over, and now they're saying a couple of weeks that he's lost. But so that was the first, but the first serious one, or semi-serious, was Eric Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in general, you would say, boy, you're at high risk if you haven't played for 5 months and you start playing scrimmage.
We're going to be interesting to see, Skip, because like you said, scrimmages, and I'm not really going all out. You
I don't know, but I've been watching. They've been playing some basketball.
I'm really trying to get my basketball legs back under me. It's going to be very interesting to see these seeding games because you got some teams that can really move up. You know, you're going to get Portland. Portland's trying to make it. You get the Pelicans. They're trying to make it. Memphis is trying to keep them on the outside. You got some teams that could possibly move up a spot or two and get a more favorable matchup in the first round.
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting to see, starting Thursday night and moving forward for the next week and a half, how these eight games play out. We're going to see the intensity.
Yep.
Because it's kind of like preseason, Skip. And then you go regular season, and you know when you get to the playoffs, you turned up even another notch because you know that the finality that's coming to these.
Well, it's beginning to look like there's no way the Clippers even have a remote chance of catching the Lakers five and a half games back, and now they're facing all their defections.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like they're decimated in some ways, at least psychologically. And in the end, can they suddenly just get – can they just basically bag the last eight games, not even worry about them, and whoever they're going to play in the first round just say, here we go.
Man, I don't know if anybody been watching, but if you watch James Harden the last two games, I don't want to see him. You don't want to face him in the first round, Skip. He's going to another. And when you thought James Harden, like, man, James can't. The dude had 30 at the half last night on 7-3.
I know. I got it.
So that's what he's capable of. James Harden can light you up for 50 in a game like nothing. And then you still got to worry about it. He got a sidekick that's a former MVP that averaged a triple-double for three straight years. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the last half of the season, Russell Westbrook was Russell Westbrook in OKC.
He was. They are the X factor in the Western Conference playoffs, and I would not want to have to deal with them in the first round. No mercy.
Aaron Rodgers admitted during a podcast interview that he was not elated when the Packers drafted quarterback Jordan Love with the 26th pick. When asked about what he thought Green Bay's plans were at the position, he said, quote, just look at the facts. They traded up. They drafted him. I would say they like him. They want to play him. So, Shannon, let's read between the lines here. What does he actually say?
Jimmy, I don't need to read between the lines. Aaron Rodgers says, my time is numbered here. He understands that, Skip. He's like, look at what I've done. I went to the NFC Championship game, Skip. I was 13-3. I'm still playing at an elite level, and you take a quarterback. Not only did you take a quarterback in the first round, you traded up to make sure you were able to get him in the first round. So Aaron Rodgers is basically saying, Skip, I know that if I want to play into my 40s, it's going to be elsewhere. And Skip, since 2000, this is the third time that has happened that a team have drafted a quarterback after they go to the championship game. That happened with the Broncos. They took Paxton Lynch, but Peyton Manning retired. It happened with the Broncos in 05. Mm-hmm. Jake Plummer took them to the AFC Championship game. They drafted your guy, Jay Cutler. And here we did it again. I don't know what it is about Denver. Denver did this in 91. We went to the championship game and they drafted Tommy Maddox the next year. So I don't know what it is with Denver with quarterbacks going to the championship game, Skip, and feeling they need a quarterback.
I don't know. Something's in that water. Maybe it's the atmosphere, right?
But the thing was, Aaron Rodgers is he understands. And this notion, Aaron was, Skip, remember they tried to paint it? Aaron was fine with it. You know, he even reached out to Jordan Love and congratulated him. I said, bull jive. The Aaron Rodgers, you know, Skip, is as competitive as all get out. He's supremely confident. And basically they said, man, we don't believe you can do this much longer, and we're going to usher you right on up out the door. But he should, Skip. I mean, once you saw this happen with Joe Montana and all these other quarterbacks, with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. The writing's on the wall. Nobody's safe. If they get rid of Tom Brady, ain't nobody ever gonna be safe again, Skip. Mm. And so Aaron Rodgers realized that for me to play as long as I want to play, I'm going to take my show on the road. I'm going to finish my career elsewhere. Mm. Now remember, Brett Favre won the division the year they drafted Aaron Rodgers. They were 10-6. They won the division. And they took Aaron Rodgers. Now, Aaron Rodgers was a top. A lot of people thought he was going to go number one overall. He slid, and Ted Thompson said, we'd be a fool not to take him here at this spot.
24?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Green Bay's like, just to make sure nobody else takes this guy,
yep,
we're going to move up to get it.
Mm.
So that was no read between the lines. Mm. It was a big old billboard.
Mm.
Aaron Rodgers, we're taking a quarterback, and we want you to move on within the very near future.
Mm. Yet you still say Aaron Rodgers has lost nothing.
He ain't lost a thing.
Hmm. I have always compared Aaron Rodgers to LeBron James. I've said that Aaron is the LeBron of the National Football League. What is LeBron known for? His management style, so to speak, is passive-aggressive messages via social media or interviews,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This was a classic LeBron memorial passive-aggressive call-out of his management and his coach. That's to me, because he said what he said on this Spotify podcast, mm-hmm, with a matter-of-fact sort of shrug,
yeah,
right? It wasn't vitriolic. Now, it wasn't over-emotional.
Skip, he resigned to the fact, right, the man knows his fate.
It sounded like resignation.
Yes!
But the resignation serves two purposes, because number one, it turns up the heat on the GM and the coach,
mm-hmm,
as if to say, well, I guess that's what you want. That's what you're going to get,
right?
Right. And it also turns up the sympathy among the many Aaron Rodgers fans still left out there, because they're going to say, look what they're doing to our guy.
Poor Aaron.
They're poor Aaron. They're pushing him right out the back door. How dare they do this to our guy, Aaron Rodgers? Well, I'm fine with that. By the way, just a quick aside, I'm starting to worry about Aaron a little bit, because did you see the quotes about, he said, as much as he loves scotch, now he's taken to drinking what he calls sipping tequila?
Yeah.
Did you see this?
Yeah.
And so the night of the draft, he said he got a text that they traded up to take Jordan Love. So I guess, mm-hmm, he wasn't actually watching the draft like,
right,
a lot of people would.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets the text and he thinks, well, it's going to be a long night.
Right.
So he said, I had to go to the pantry to pull out some sipping tequila, and I poured myself 4 fingers, he said, of the sipping tequila, because it was going to be a long night of a lot of people bombarding him,
yeah,
with poor Aaron texts,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
so
you don't need to sip.
I'm starting to worry about it.
Nah, just go ahead and get your thing and just go ahead and take it to the head.
Really?
And the next thing you know, it's the morning.
Really?
You close, like, how my clothes get up on the
fan? That's kind of what he did that night.
You looking around like, how my clothes get on the fan?
Yeah.
And who took my shoes off?
Well, and he was seeing the handwriting on the wall of his Malibu mansion, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not your Bel Air mansion, but it's Malibu beachfront.
And you know, him and Danica split.
There they split.
So yeah, this might have had an adverse effect. Do the Packers realize what they've done, Skip? This might have had an impact on him on his personal life.
Mm.
I don't think the Packers realize what they've done. You go from drinking Doers or Johnny Walker,
mm-hmm,
to drinking Jose Cuervo.
Mm.
Man, come on, Skip.
Mm. So they did that to him.
They did that. I don't like this. I don't like it. Hey, look, the Packers really helped me. You know, my brother played 7 years with the Packers,
yep,
but I don't like this.
So you're kind of like Tad Prescott, the brother.
Yeah,
the brother.
Yeah.
You're saying, I don't even know how I can root for the Packers next year.
Yeah,
right?
I don't even know if I still got love in my heart for the Packers after doing this.
Mm.
Because it's tough on the man.
Okay. Here's my takeaway and my 2 cents from a distance. What I wanted to hear Aaron Rodgers say is, enough of this. If he's still the guy you say he is, if he's still the guy that the evaluators and personnel men and coaches and coordinators told The Athletic and voted him into,
uh-huh,
the top tier,
uh-huh,
they voted him the third best quarterback. The players last night voted him the 16th best player. So he fell out of the top 10. He, mm-hmm, fell behind Tom Brady, who was 14th.
Mm-hmm.
First time Tom didn't make the top 10 since this poll was brought into
10 years.
Existence. Yep. But the point is, I would love to hear Aaron say, I'm still that guy, and I'm about to show you,
whoa,
I'm still that guy, because nobody can stop him from playing at a high level.
Yeah, that's what you wanted to hear?
Yep.
Jenny, you know what? There was a time, I think it was 2017, that a quarterback, that the head coach wanted to replace the quarterback. And that guy didn't say, I'm still that guy.
Oh,
no. That was my turn. He took his butt upstairs to his dad, Mr. Kraft, and said, tell him don't do this. Mm. And Mr. Kraft told Coach Belichick, you will trade Jimmy G. So I wanted your guy to say, I'm still that guy. Mm. Instead of running his little puny tail upstairs and crying.
Mm. My guy ran his little puny self right out onto the field for the fourth quarter against Jacksonville in the AFC Championship game following the 2017 season, and he threw for 138 in the fourth quarter to bring them back from 20-10 down.
Did he do that? Did he say, I'm still that guy, or did he go upstairs and tell Mr. Coach Mr. Kraft to have Coach Belichick not to do this and to get rid of Jimmy G? Did he do that? Because Seth Wickersham wrote an unbelievable article. And then Tom Brady, Mr. Kraft, and Coach Belichick released the old
bull jack. Tom Brady said, I am still that guy, and I'm about to show you.
That's not what he did.
And when he got to the Super Bowl, he threw for an all-time playoff record, 505. No one's ever done that. He backed it up. Then he went and won another Super Bowl and another Super Bowl. He just kept showing you, I'm going to do this.
That's not what the article reported happened. Mm. Now, you know that. You know he went upstairs and would cry.
Mm. Aaron Rodgers hasn't even been to a Super Bowl for 10 years. It's time for him to take ownership of this and say, if you'll let me start game one, you're not going to be able to get this job away from me. And you're going to have to forget about it.
What do you mean, let me start?
Well, that's what, is he going to be the starter for game one, or is Jordan Love? I'm pretty sure he will. So if he's the starter for game one, he should be the starter for game number 16 and all the way through the playoffs, and he should show you he's the third best quarterback in the league.
Skip, I don't care if it's Jordan Love, Buddy Love, Bryce Love. Okay. I don't care. Aaron Rodgers is the guy in Green Bay.
Okay, so why didn't he just say that? Why does he do, oh, whoa, am I?
Hold up. Your guy was upstairs, went upstairs
crying. He didn't say a word about
it. He cried.
How do you know?
He cried.
Nobody reported that he cried.
He pulled a Draymond Green.
No.
Draymond was in the parking lot with a towel. He was in the man's office.
You know
what?
That
was only the second time he had been in Mr. Kraft's office.
He pulled a boss move. He showed you who was boss.
That's a boss move.
He walked right upstairs to the owner, and he said, no, I run this. I'm going to show you. And then he went and backed it up and kept backing it up for three more years.
Well, the Packers don't have ownership. They have shareholders. So Aaron couldn't go to the owner.
Yeah.
How about
I think
that?
Aaron's just sort of giving up.
He's getting hostile over there. No mercy.